welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. This is our fall membership drive. We're going to talk about more about that in a minute. Vegetables long have been relegated to salads and side dishes. Kira Mangini has some other ideas, and they all stem from how vegetables are prepared. She's executive chef and owner of Little Eater, a produce-inspired restaurant and specialty store in the North Market, with another location on the way in Clintonville, by the way. Kira is also an author. Her book is entitled The Vegetable Butcher, How to Select, Prep, Slice, Dice, and Masterfully Cook Vegetables from Artichokes to Zucchini. She joins us now. Welcome back.
Hi there. Thank you for having me.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. It is our fall membership drive. Remember, listener support, it's the foundation of our budget. Please make your gift right now at WOSU.org or by calling 1-866-897-9678. For a gift of $10 a month as a sustainer, we will send you Kira Mangini's book, The Vegetable Butcher, How to Select, Prep, Slice, Dice, and Masterfully Cook Vegetables from Artichokes to Zucchini. It's a beautiful book. It brings the skills of butchery and the world of fresh produce together in 150 original recipes. It's a guide to everything you need to know about cooking vegetables with step-by-step instructions. This is perfect for the seasoned chef in your home, as well as the first-time chef. It'd make a great wedding gift. It'd make a great college graduation gift. Maybe you have a vegan or a vegetarian in your family. Teach them how to cook for themselves. 1-866-897-9678. That's $10 a month as a sustainer, and you'll support public radio and get this wonderful, useful book as your thank you gift. Visit WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. First news. You have a new location opening in Clintonville next spring. I can't believe how many people on Facebook and wherever were going, woohoo, yee, wee, you know, squeal, squeal, you know, whatever they were doing. Wow, it's great.
Really exciting. We're really ready for the next step, and Clintonville feels like the perfect home for us. We're going to have about 2,700 square feet, and we'll be evolving the menu some, but we'll have a lot more of what we have now. We have such a small kitchen in the North Market that we're going to have an opportunity to do a lot more. So,
will it be table service, or will it be kind of the walking up?
It'll be walk-up situation as it is now, but there'll be a wonderful environment to sit in and dine in, and there'll be beer and wine and a few other additions to the menu. So we're excited to really control the whole environment and provide, you know, great service and great food.
You started your career literally as a vegetable butcher, I mean, in the food industry. You started from the ground up. You learned the very fundamentals of things you're trying to teach in the book. What's it been like having to teach other people how to do that?
Well, it's been exciting. I've been sort of on the end of book tour, which has been exciting. I've been all over the country teaching and then, of course, teaching within my own team as well. But, you know, it's exciting. I think that's what got me started in the first place was when I was a vegetable butcher, I really connected with vegetable education and was excited by the small little tips and tricks and techniques that I was sharing with people on how it really seemed to make a difference and how vegetables really seemed intimidating to people. And so everything I do is really dedicated to hopefully helping to make vegetables more approachable and helping people feel more confident and comfortable cooking with vegetables every day.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. My guest is Kira Mangini. She is chef and owner of Little Eater and author of a new book. Well, it's new last spring, The Vegetable Butcher, How to Select, Prep, Slice, Dice, and Masterfully Cook Vegetables from Artichokes to Zucchini. Any question you could possibly have about vegetables and how to prep them, where they come from, just about anything, you can ask Kira. So give us a call, 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We welcome your questions about just about anything. And I was wondering, now that your tour is kind of wrapping up, what were some of the more unusual questions you got out there?
Oh, gosh, they really ran the gamut. You know, what's funny is that often they were, there's so many similarities between the kinds of questions that people have. A lot of questions about, you know, what are my favorites, certainly, and what are the ones that, you know, ones that just are more intimidating for people. Beets always come up, kohlrabi. A lot of questions about, you know, how do I handle vegetables after they've moved a little bit past their prime, which I love because I think it's so important that we manage the waste associated with cooking with produce. And so it's been fun to share those kinds of tips about how to sort of extend the life of certain vegetables and how to look at them in a different way once they've maybe moved a little bit past their prime, either in your vegetable drawer or on your kitchen counter.
One thing someone said to me one time, they bought a new refrigerator and one with the freezer on the bottom. And they said, now finally my vegetables are staring me in the face instead of being down below in the crispers at the bottom of the fridge. I thought that was a really interesting point.
That is really interesting. You know, I think it is. Sometimes it's out of sight, out of mind. And so much of, you know, the work that I do, and certainly, you know, the point of this book is to, you know, make people feel comfortable and confident so that they don't get to that point that you forget about them or there isn't that immediate anxiety that comes from buying fresh produce, that we have the, you know, the tips and the sort of second nature intuitive knowledge of how to prepare them so they don't go bad, you know, sitting there. You don't feel that immediate anxiety on a Thursday night, you know, days after you purchase your produce at the farmer's market when you realize you haven't gone to it yet.
Yeah.
I think if we have really great recipes and we know, you know, we have some basic knife skills, we understand, you know, what ingredients pair really well with, you know, every single vegetable, you know, we're going to be much more comfortable, you know, turning that into a meal.
You know, I was having a dinner party for some people for a special occasion a couple weeks ago, and I was talking to somebody randomly about it, and they said, so do you know what you're going to have? And I said, well, I have to go to the farmer's market, and I'll know then when I go and see what's looking good at the farmer's market. And they go, oh, well, wow, you're a real cook. And I thought, well, really? I mean, that's kind of that sense of the whole idea of finding out what's good looking out there instead and let that drive you instead of some preordained expectations.
Absolutely. I think that's the best way to cook, at least certainly for me. I think that way, you know, you're seeing what stands out to you, what immediately I think you're going to be, you know, more likely to cook with it and get to it before it goes bad if it's something that you were attracted to in the first place. It also, you know, is a good indication of freshness. You're going to be able to procure vegetables in their prime. Another thing is, you know, you have a good sense of what other ingredients are going to go well with it. You know, nature is our guide. It's going to show you, you know, if you're seeing your, you know, beets next to your rutabaga and your kale, you know, those are all things that that work well together. The nature and the season will lead the way. And certainly it's an exciting way to cook.
I used your crepe recipe yesterday and then I looked in my refrigerator. I saw what I had and I just looked up I think it was squash. I had an acorn squash. And what goes with it? Brussels sprouts. I had like 7 or 8 Brussels sprouts, so I made an acorn squash and Brussels sprouts with some cheddar cheese.
Awesome.
Crepes. Yeah, I roasted the squash, you know, shredded the Brussels sprouts, sautéed them, threw it all together. But one of the things I love about your book is that for every single vegetable, you have a list of what goes with it.
Yes, I think that's important. I think for us to get to the point in our culture where vegetables are second nature and more intuitive, we have to just know what goes with them. You know, we have to be able to get to a point where we're not cooking directly with a recipe because I think that can, you know, that can become intimidating too or feel like a little bit too structured. And on a busy weeknight, you know, it I think feels a little bit intimidating to pull out a recipe or seems like more of a production than it really needs to be.
Right.
And so my goal, certainly, so I love hearing that, is that, you know, you can take these recipes and make them your own and that there's so many variation possibilities when it comes to cooking with vegetables. And I share a lot of those in the book as well.
And to the idea that a vegetable can go with another vegetable, usually we think of them singularly as side dishes or, you know, the mixed vegetable, frozen vegetables in your freezer compartment kind of a thing.
Yeah, no, they, you know, most go well together,
right.
You know, and I would say, you know, they all do. If you're cooking in season, then, you know, those flavors are naturally going to work well together. And so I think that's where the fun is in cooking with produce as well, is that kind of experimentation and, you know, and just the colors and textures and flavors that come when you're mixing and matching vegetables. That's where all the joy is for me, certainly, in cooking with produce.
Thanks to Valerie Schaefer and Galena for your pledge of support. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. It is our fall membership drive. Remember, your support, you're a listener. That means listener support. That means you is the foundation of our budget. Please make your gift right now at WOSU.org or by calling 1-866-897-9678. Kara Mangini is our guest this hour. We're offering her book as a thank you gift this hour. It's an extension of the conversation we're having today. If you enjoy listening to All Sides, but if you especially enjoy the shows we do about cooking, as I do, then this is a great time to become a member. For $10 a month as a sustainer, get the book, The Vegetable Butcher. Visit WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. The book is a hardcover, beautiful book. It includes colorful photographs, gives step-by-step instructions on how to transform various vegetables into edible works of art. The book includes more than 150 original and simple recipes that puts the spotlight on vegetables as the centerpiece of your meal. Become a member of 89.7 NPR News and get this great book as our way of saying thank you. Visit WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. And seriously, this book is not just from, you know, artichokes to zucchini. It talks about washing the veggies to store them, what kind of knife to use, when to use it with what kind of vegetable. This book has it all. It's very well organized. There are recipes and tips for everything and helpful index in the back for quick referencing. It's a great reference book. And once again, it's a great starter book, and it's also a great book for the seasoned chef. And I was wondering if you were kind of getting that vibe as you traveled across the country.
Absolutely. And that was certainly the goal, that this could be a guide and a resource for, you know, somebody who's just picking up a knife and getting into the kitchen for the first time, and as well as, you know, a collection of hopefully really inspiring recipes for somebody who's been cooking for a very long time, that's looking to cook more with vegetables, and ultimately looking to cook with the seasons, celebrate vegetables, and put vegetables right in the center of the plate.
When I was going through it over the weekend and last night, the pages were all sticking together. Which says I've been using
it.
You know, I use it a lot, and I use it often. And when I use a cookbook in the kitchen, everything's all over the place. I have a small kitchen, so it's going to get messy, but that's okay, right?
Absolutely. That's where the fun is.
Sign of love.
Yes.
Show your love for 89.7 NPR News. We have about 41 minutes left in the hour, and I'd love to get 20 pledges by the end of the hour. Please show your support at whatever level you can afford. If it's just $20, if it's $5 a month, work it out. If it's a quarter a day, however you value 89.7 NPR News, make an investment along those lines and show us you care. A lot of this is about validating what we do and telling us, yeah, this is something I care about. Thank you. Here's my show of support. So there's also a place to literally leave a message for us and let us know what you think. Tell us what you love about 89.7 NPR News and WOSU Public Media. So make the call right now, though. It only takes 2 minutes, and then you can get right back to the conversation with Kara Mangini. And you're welcome to also call in with questions for Kara. She's an expert. She's an executive chef and owner of Little Eater and the author of a new book, The Vegetable Book. It's our gift to you this hour at the $10 a month as a sustainer. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. And I think people who get vegetable subscriptions, you know, produce subscriptions from local farmers, they could really use this, because a lot of it's just like, what? And sometimes it'll include a couple recipes or that kind of a thing. But
absolutely. You know, this book was created with that person in mind, not only to support that home cook, but also to support the farmer.
Right.
You know, we need to be able to cook with a variety of vegetables for so many different reasons, but that also really supports the work of the farmer. And I hear over and over again from our farm partners that there are certain vegetables, you know, that they grow that works well for their farm, that they put in the box, and people just don't know what to do with it. So this book certainly is a resource for that kind of cooking. You should be able to sign up for a CSA with peace of mind and know you'll be able to, with this book, get into your kitchen and turn any one of those vegetables into a meal. Certainly, that's really important, especially now as we get into fall where, you know, rutabagas and kohlrabi and turnips and fennel, beets, you know, there's so parsnips, there's so many things that I think can really start to get intimidating in these months. But, you know, there's so much now. We're in the height of harvest, and certainly this book will help you not only to break them down, but to turn them into a great meal.
The call to for questions for Kara Mangini, 614-292-8513. If you want to show your support, 1-866-897-9678. Marilyn in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Marilyn.
Ah, good morning.
Go ahead.
So I have a question about sunchokes. Are they the same thing as Jerusalem artichokes? And then the second part of the question is, when I find them in the market, what do I do with them? How do I prepare them? Do they need to be peeled? And how do I cook them?
There's a chapter for that. Yeah. Marilyn,
I love this question. This is one of my very favorite vegetables. They are the same thing as Jerusalem artichokes, though they're actually in the sunflower family. I had a wonderful opportunity while I was on book tour. I visited a farm in Boston and got to pull them right out of the ground. They are an incredible plant, and they are very labor intensive. So it's hard to find around because it's quite a commitment for our farmers, but they're absolutely delicious. They are a bit challenging to peel, but there are a couple different things I like to do with them. There is a soup that I love to make. There's a great recipe in the book for a sunchoke and apple soup. So you definitely have to get in there and peel around some of their knobby.
Kind of like a ginger.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's absolutely wonderful. You can make a puree as well. But for, you know, for a weeknight or for something that's a little bit less labor intensive, I love to steam them or boil them very quickly just until tender and then smash them between two plates and then pan fry them so the skin gets nice and crispy. Mm. So this way you're really using the skin, not having to peel them.
Oh, okay.
And you can serve it with a horseradish cream is really wonderful. But the other thing about sunchokes is that they actually become soft very quickly. So I don't love roasting them for that reason.
Okay.
So I love the smashing and sort of searing technique because you get that tenderness on the inside, but you get the sort of a crispy texture on the outside, which I love. And then you can also make sunchoke chips, which I love. So if you shave them really thinly with a mandolin or with your knife, brush them with olive oil, salt, and pepper. You can certainly play around with different spices. Single layer on a sheet tray and roast them until crispy, and they are absolutely delicious.
Yummy. Thanks a lot for that great question. Kohlrabi for some people is another tricky vegetable. What it's unusual looking for one thing.
Yes, I love kohlrabi. It is one that will sort of give you this cabbage meets broccoli kind of flavor. I consider it sort of like the stem of the broccoli. So you're getting that broccoli flavor without the texture of the florette.
Okay.
And it's wonderful because you can eat it raw or cooked. If you slice it very thinly and then maybe cut it into matchsticks, it's wonderful in a slaw. When you roast it until quite tender, it becomes very sweet.
Do you just chop off the stems then?
Yeah. So if you're buying it now, likely you'll have the stems will be attached and the leaves. I don't love the stems for eating, but the leaves are wonderful and you can treat them like kale or spinach. There's a great recipe in the book for a kohlrabi stir fry or a fried rice. Mm-hmm. And you can use the leaves right in there with the the kohlrabi, the bulb. And, you know, when it's really fresh, you can actually, the skin is fine to eat. I generally peel them. The larger kohlrabi, the storage kohlrabi that you start to see in the winter months can be kind of fibrous and tough. So I definitely like to peel those ones.
Okay.
But, you know, it actually makes a wonderful puree. You can cook it, maybe even combine it with potato. And it makes this sweet, delicious puree. There's a great recipe in the book for a kohlrabi. And you can either use spinach or the leaves bread pudding, which is really wonderful. But kohlrabi, I just can't recommend it enough. It's absolutely delicious. And I know it grows so well here in Ohio. And our farmers,
it's in
sometimes
a lot of farm bags. Yeah,
it is in a lot of those farm boxes. And sometimes, you know, they have difficult moving it. So I would really encourage everybody to give it a try.
Everybody, give kohlrabi a try.
Yes.
This weekend. There'll be a ton of it at a farmer's market. I know that. Show it some love, because it grows in Central Ohio well. And we want to go with those vegetables, those kinds of produce that thrives here. That's what's happening in our ecosystem in Central Ohio. So support that. And another part of the ecosystem in Central Ohio, your public radio station. Support that as well. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. We're at about 33 minutes before the end of the hour. I hate counting down the hour because I want to spend time with Kara Mangini talking about vegetables. But I also need to remind you to take the time to assess the value that 89.7 NPR News has for your life. Do you listen to it every day? Do you listen to the show every day, whether it's to now or later on when we repeat it at night? What do you get out of it? Is it of value to you? Do you find yourself talking about it? Do you look forward to it? Do you recognize my voice in the grocery store? If you do, then this is for you. This is the time. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org and show your support for the something that is an everyday thing for you. We need you to tell us that it's valuable to you and that it matters. And if it went away tomorrow, you'd miss us. Thanks to Mary Knight in Westerville for your support. 1-866-897-9678. It takes just 2 minutes. Go online to WOSU.org. Same thing, just 2 minutes. And you can learn about this beautiful, beautiful book that you will have forever. You will have it forever. You will never, ever get tired of this book. It's a classic. It's an incredible reference book. And vegetables are only going to become more important as we educate ourselves more and more about the vegetable diet going forward. You find 150 recipes, lots of detailed instructions on how to properly prepare a variety of vegetables. There are many great recipes in the book, including honeyed eggplant and polenta cake, rutabaga and apple cardamom pie, a mushroom miso soup, roasted sweet potatoes, and much more. Get this great book and support public radio. That's $10 a month as a sustaining member. Go to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. And Kara Mangini, I've said it earlier today that a lot of people turn to their public radio station when they first move here. And I'm just betting you were one of those people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've been here for about 4 years, and it's certainly one of the things I love about Columbus, that we have a wonderful public radio station and great programming. And of course, it's always wonderful to be here and chatting with you.
Yeah. Okay, I have a couple questions. This is personal. I want to get, you know, by the way, if you have a question for Kara Mangini, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. But I am so making the parsnip and ginger layer cake this winter. Oh my gosh, how in the world did you come up with that recipe? I mean, obviously parsnips are a lot like carrots, but I never would have thought about it.
I love that you can see the smile on my
face.
I love that you mentioned this. I love, love, love this recipe.
I can't wait. And ginger's my favorite flavor.
Me too. I love it. And I think it just pairs so well with parsnips. This cake tastes like fall, and the frosting is amazing. It's a brown butter. buttercream frosting. I like to use just a little bit of it because I really love that flavor, the parsnip flavor in the cake. So you can sort of balance those, but you can use even more frosting if you want. Mm-hmm. You can turn them into cupcakes. You can make them a layer cake. It's a really versatile cake. You can shred carrots in and let that stand in if you don't have parsnips. That works really
but
well.
But the color changes, and I love that it's this beautiful creamy color.
Yes, it looks like that sort of fall winter cake, and it's wonderful around the holidays. But it's a wonderful, wonderful recipe. Thank you for noting it. It's one of my absolute favorites.
I can't wait. I think I'm going to do it for Thanksgiving. I mean, in addition to my regular pies, don't anybody get shook up out there. But and then here's another thing I have to ask you about. Nettles?
Yes.
Really? I don't know how many times I've looked in this book and used it, and I never saw the nettles recipe, the nettles chapter, for some reason until last night.
Yeah, so nettles, you know, that's another thing that you can find around here. And nettles are, you know, again, sort of not totally high maintenance, but you do have to blanch them because they will sting you, so to speak. You can get a bit of a rash
by nettles.
but they, you know, they're like the best spinach you've ever tasted, the most intense spinach flavor. And if you have an opportunity to purchase some, they're really a wonderful ingredient.
I don't think I've seen them.
There, you know, you can every so often at a market, you'll find them, whether it be at a specialty market or at a farmer's market. If they're high maintenance for us, they're high maintenance for our farmers or our foragers. Yeah. So, but they're great. And there's a wonderful recipe in the book for spinach crepes, cream spinach crepes, and you can use the nettles in place of the spinach. And they're wonderful. Of course, there's a great pesto recipe to use the nettles. They're wonderful paired with eggs. They're great, on pizza, maybe ricotta. It's a fun vegetable to use if you come across them.
I'm going to try it if I ever find it. I can't wait because I love the idea of the pesto for right off the bat, you know, just to, you know, for sure it won't sting you if it's been ground up in a pesto. I've been stung by nettles. I've gotten just covered in them before. And I'm thinking, what?
Yeah, I like to, you know, I take all the right steps. You know, I recommend putting out some parchment on your kitchen counter, using kitchen gloves, and you know, cleaning up right after. But if you're careful, I think there's great reward in those cooking with nettles.
We have an email from Jeff who writes, "My adventurous kids and grandkids were visiting from New Mexico and we visited the North Market. As Justin ate his way through the place, my wife saw Kara's book and bought it without hesitation. We love the book. We made butternut squash last night and I have a cauliflower waiting to be turned into steaks." So, Jeff, thanks a lot for that email. I bet you Justin would love a copy of Kara's book. It would make a great Christmas gift. And what a wonderful memory that would kindle for him as well of his day spent at the fabulous North Market in Columbus. That's our gift to you at the $10 a month sustainer level, 1-866-897-9678 is the number to call. Just 2 minutes of your time. Thanks to Roberta Zimmerman in Columbus for your pledge. Really appreciate it. Be like Roberta. Show your support at whatever level you can afford. Maybe it's just $20 to start. That's okay. We're looking for members. We want new members. We want old members to re-up if they can. But whatever, we're looking for people to become part of the club. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. Dave in Grove City, you're on the air. Hi, Dave.
Hi, how are you today?
Fine, thank you.
Got a question for you. We have a lot of eggplant that we've grown, and we've tried to find creative ways of using it because once you harvest it, of course, it doesn't last very long. Mm-hmm. And we have found a way to make eggplant jerky. Have you ever tried that?
You know what? I haven't, but while I was on book tour, I think I was in Atlanta, and somebody was telling me how to do something similar. Tell us about it.
Well, it's a... what we do is we, actually my mother helps us with it, but she blanches it. And then we marinate it in a maple syrup, balsamic vinegar, and olive oil. And then we dehydrate it.
Awesome.
And we sold a lot of it at the markets here locally. and it's really caught on.
You've seen eggplant jerky at the markets locally?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
That's awesome.
I've sold a lot at the farmer's markets here in the Grove City area.
Okay.
And we just started selling produce in front of our facility. And people show up just to buy eggplant jerky.
That's awesome. I'm glad you reminded me of that because it's something that I heard about, and I definitely have to give that a try.
Hey, Dave, you peel it first, right?
Yeah.
And then you slice it before blanching, or you blanch before you slice it?
We slice it and then blanch it.
Okay. All right. Wow. Great. Thank you, Dave.
Well, thank you. The other thing that is very good is, of course, about any vegetable roasted in olive oil and salt and pepper is just absolutely outstanding.
Totally agree.
Oh, totally my God. It's wonderful.
Yep. Just simple ingredients. Thanks a lot, Dave.
Thank you.
Right?
Have
I mean, you suggest that, Carol, with just about everything. You can always just throw it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think one of the reasons vegetables have sort of gotten a bad rap at a certain point in time, or we, you know, some of us have maybe a bad childhood association with a certain vegetable, was it was maybe, you know, boiled until the life was drained out of it, or steamed, or, you know, till all that flavor was lost. And roasting, I think, is just a really simple, approachable way for so many of us to not only quickly and sort of mindlessly, you know, get something cooking. But it really provides a ton of flavor. So it's a great way, you know, if you're roasting at a high temperature, you get really great color on your vegetables, which is going to give you great color or, excuse me, great flavor and texture.
That's how I learned to love beets, was roasting. I grew up with the canned beets kind of a thing.
Yes.
And I did not get that at all. And I started roasting beets, and that's how I finally broke through that.
Absolutely. You're not alone, because so many people have those canned beets as a kid and just think they will never touch them again. And every day at Little Eater, we're always bringing some beet haters over to the other side.
And, you know, that kind of makes me think, though, a lot of us grew up, well, I know I did, with parents who were children of the Depression. And that's, you know, back in the day, there weren't the, you know, you couldn't keep things fresh like you can now. A lot more things were canned. That was typical of the day.
Absolutely. And, you know, and I think also some of that vegetable knowledge, too, when, you know, we had to do a lot more work to get, you know, food on the table, mm-hmm. that intuitive knowledge of how to handle vegetables, how to prepare them, was sort of lost in that time, too. So when, you know, when things were canned for us, or we could buy vegetables frozen, or we could eat out, you know, for every meal, we sort of lost a lot of that, that knowledge. And it's certainly why I'm doing what I do now, is sort of make that knowledge that I think wasn't passed on at a certain point because so many conveniences came along, which understandably so. You know, if you were both farming and canning and, you know, getting every meal on the table all the time, you know, of course you'd be looking for some conveniences. But I think we're all looking maybe to get back to really just knowing how to handle how to handle vegetables easily at this point. So.
Thanks to Belinda Jones in Dublin and also Kathy Rosati in Westerville for your support. If you did show your support at the $10 a month sustainer level, our gift to you is the beautiful book by my guest, Kira Mangini. The name of the book, The Vegetable Butcher, How to Select, Prep, Slice, Dice, and Masterfully Cook Vegetables from Artichokes to Zucchini. It is a beautiful book. We proudly present it to you as our thank you gift at the $10 a month sustainer level. 1-866-897-9678, or go online to WOSU.org. And don't forget, when you do that, tell us what you care about on 89.7 NPR News. Tell us what matters to you and why you listen. This is a great opportunity to give us the feedback that we really, really love. You had a note about salted water. Now, I have to admit that I often forget to salt water. I don't for just about anything. I just don't think about it. And I also don't put salt and pepper on the table either. It's not, you know, but I use salt and pepper a lot, but mm-hmm. I just don't think about salting water before you're going to boil something or before you're going to do anything, or particularly with pasta and that kind of a thing. Tell me something about why it's important so that I stop forgetting.
So, you know, salting the water really gives whatever you're cooking in that water so much of its seasoning and flavor. So now it's important to remember this is if you're cooking in a big pot of water where there's, you know, if you're going to be boiling or cooking for a long time, then your vegetables or whatever you're cooking are going to absorb all of that salt. Uh-huh. So, but if you're doing a quick blanch and you're not, you know, cooking for very long, then it's going to give it just enough of that seasoning and flavor, and it gives you a great base, so you're not adding tons of salt later, but mm-hmm. really infusing the vegetables that you cook in it with a good amount of seasoning. So it is really important. I think, you know, if you're quickly blanching broccoli, let's say that you want to add to a quick stir fry or kale or you know, any of your greens before you maybe want to do a quick saute on them. It's going to give it great flavor. It truly makes a difference. Everyone should do a little experiment of, you know, adding salt to your boiling water versus nothing at all. Mm-hmm. And it really makes a difference.
Thanks to Suresh Vagarali in Columbus for your support. Thanks for supporting 89.7 NPR News. Our gift to you at the $10 monthly sustaining membership level is The Vegetable Butcher, how to select, prep, slice, dice, and masterfully cook vegetables from artichokes to zucchini. It's by Kara Mangini, my guest this hour. If you have a question or comment, you can give us a call, 614-292-8513. We have less than 20 minutes left in the hour now, and I really want to shoot for 15 more members if we can in that 20-minute period, because I know we've I said 20 before, and now I think we're down to 15. Give us a call and show your support right now, 1-866-897-9678. It takes just 2 minutes, whether you call or go online to WOSU.org. It's very, very quick, and you can get right back to the program. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. And if you're thinking, yeah, you're talking about pretty fancy things like, you know, kohlrabi and parsnips and all that kind of stuff, there's also a description of how to clean broccoli and prep it to cook with broccoli. It's not just all fancy vegetables. It's everything you can imagine, from potatoes to sweet potatoes on. Did you get everything in this book, or what weren't you able to squeeze in?
I got pretty much, I didn't get all the recipes I wanted, and I had to cut
yes.
about 100 recipes,
wow.
Which was very sad. but in terms of vegetables, you know, I wanted to get really a mix, certainly, you know, Ohio inspired, you know, most of the vegetables in this book, you know, things that I am, you know, cooking with at the restaurant or in my home kitchen, the things that I, you know, am getting from our farm partners. And then I'm originally from California. So there are things that I grew up with, things like artichokes in the book as well. But, you know, I wanted it to be a collection of recipes and vegetables that you can, you know, find in most places in the U.S. And I think we did that, certainly. And like you said, you know, there's a mix. There's your everyday vegetables, the things you're used to seeing in the supermarket, as well as a wide variety of vegetables you'll see at the farmer's market.
I have one word for you, nettles. If you didn't hear earlier in the program, there's actually, you know, prep and how to work with nettles. So if you want to get back at them and learn to eat them, there's a recipe for that.
And, you know, and the goal was that, you know, if you came across, if you are doing your shopping at a farmer's market or if you're at some specialty store, if there's something you hadn't heard of, but you want to give it a try, that there's the, you know, the information you need to get into the kitchen and give it a try. And there are also your everyday vegetables that hopefully will, you know, just make it easier for you to get them on the table and do it in a different way that gets you excited to sit down and eat and celebrate these, you know, incredibly beautiful and delicious ingredients.
And here we are at the height of the fall season. I love it. You know, it's just, there's so much great food out there right now. So this book is, it's like I've said a couple times already, I'll say it again. It's great for everyone from the beginner cook to the experienced seasoned cook. And it's also great if there's somebody on your shopping list for the holidays coming up who is a vegetarian, wants to be a vegetarian, you know, loves vegetables, but seems to eat the same thing over and over and over again. You want to help them out of that rut. This is the perfect book, The Vegetable Butcher. It's our gift to you, our thank you gift, at the $10 a month sustainer level. 1-866-897-9678 is the number to call or go to WOSU.org. Thank you, Greg McCarthy in Columbus, for your support. He writes, great programming. Stop what you're doing and just donate. Thank you, Greg. Also, thank you to Connie Johnston in Grove City for your support. She writes, I always listen and get good book reviews. Thank you, Connie, for your support. 1-866-897-9678. I think we're down to maybe 13 to go at this point, and we have just about 15 minutes. 13 pledges is what I'm shooting for. Help me out. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. We have an email from Gloria. She's a sustaining member. She goes, I got Kira's cookbook for our granddaughters, who are 11 and 13. They are very creative in their cooking and are enjoying trying the many wonderful recipes and tips. I will have to get my own copy of Kira's book.
Love hearing that.
Look at granddaughters, 11 and 13. That's what I mean about this book. It's as complicated as you want to make it with this book.
Absolutely. And, you know, it is for, you know, not only a range of ages, but, you know, of eaters. It's really important to me that, you know, this is for certainly for, you know, vegetarians. But it's important to me that we sort of separate vegetables from vegetarianism as well. And that this is a real celebration of vegetables. It doesn't matter, you know, what is not on the plate here. It's about what is on the plate and really celebrating these ingredients, and that there's incredibly, you know, delicious food to be made here that also supports your health. You know, we are all vegetable eaters and we can all enjoy vegetables. And I think we can all, look to put vegetables a little bit closer to the center of our plate.
And I completely agree, of course. I think I tend to do that. I mention that because I know lots of people who have children who have decided to be vegetarians. And, you know, there are great ways to please everybody in your family.
Absolutely.
And I think a lot of times they think they just have to make sure they steam some broccoli or some asparagus to go along with whatever they're eating, or try to figure out how to do something. Well, it's all here and everybody can enjoy it.
Absolutely. You're not making separate meals.
Right.
And the other thing I think that's important, I hear a lot, and I've heard a lot while I was out around the country on book tour, is that, you know, people who have kids who become vegetarians, or people who are vegetarians themselves, or people who are wanting to eat more vegetables but don't really know how to do it, they tend to sort of not end up eating a balanced diet or a range of vegetables. They sort of stick with the things they know. And that can, you know, I think that's when, you know, your food gets just sort of stale and not exciting. And I think that food can not only support our health, but it's about pleasure as well. You know, we want to enjoy the food that we eat and, you know, sit down at a table with the people we love and enjoy the meal. So this book certainly will give those people who do, whether you have a vegetarian in your family, whether you're vegetarian yourself, or whether you just, you know, want to make vegetables a more significant part of your plate, you can do that here with these recipes, not only with sort of the knife skills and step-by-steps that I share, but, you know, with these recipes that will help you to make a more balanced meal with so many different vegetables.
We're locally run and locally programmed. 89.7 NPR News exists to make sure that everyone in our wonderful corner of Ohio has access to vital news and information. And there's nothing more vital than what you put in your stomach. With locally focused programs like All Sides with Dan Fisher, 89.7 NPR News addresses issues that impact our community at local, regional, and national levels. It's valuable radio, but it relies on your donations to keep it on the air. So please give now at WOSU.org or by calling 1-866-897-9678. Thank you to Michael and Diane Dobrea in Columbus for your support. Also, Bridget Liebel in Granville for your pledge. Sorry, I butchered your name there, or Liebel. 11 to go now. Just 11 to go in 11 minutes. Perfect timing. I know we can do one a minute at least. Be one of the 11. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. And at the $10 a month as a sustainer, at the sustainer level of $10 a month, we'll give you the book, The Vegetable Butcher. It's full of lessons on how to properly prepare and store vegetables, learn which knives to use and how to use them, and you'll find lots, 150 wonderful recipes. Support all sides and get this great thank you gift for $10 a month. Go to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. Why does it matter how you cut up your vegetables?
Well, you know, it ultimately you want vegetables to be cut in even sizes so that it'll cook evenly. For me, you know, the title of Vegetable Butcher, so much of it is about just knowing that there are different ways to approach each vegetable and that, you know, that the process of cutting your vegetables can be and should be easier. And if we get it in our heads that it's this, you know, big challenging process or chore, I think we're, you know, less likely to cook with vegetables. So for me, it's all about just having the tools and understanding of how to approach each one, how to break it down easily so that you can get to your cooking. Mm-hmm. But, you know, ultimately, it's, you know, there are a variety of ways you can break each vegetable down. But I think if we, you know, again, intuitively know how to do it, how to separate the leaves from the roots and how to use those leaves or and how to cut those leaves and how to, you know, if a certain vegetable needs peeling or doesn't, you know, we can sort of take some of that anxiety out of cooking with produce and get right to the actual cooking and enjoying.
Thank you to Donna and Bruce Seipel in Columbus and also Terry Stolte in Westerville. 9 pledges to go in just 9 minutes. We're staying on track here. 1-866-897-9678. Or go to WOSU.org. We also have time for more questions for my guest, Kara Mangini, chef and owner of Little Eater in the North Market, also author of the book, The Vegetable Butcher. If you have a question or comment for her, you could pretty much just like, there's just like not a lot she's not going to know about. I haven't, you know, plumbed the full depth. So give us a call and join the conversation, 614-292-8513. I wanted to ask you about beet greens. You mentioned in the book that when the greens are still attached to the beet, that means it's fresh. Mm-hmm. You see that at the, well, sometimes at the farmer's market, often at the farmer's market, if anywhere. Tell me about what to do with the greens, because beet greens to me don't look as appetizing as I wish they would. Sometimes. Yeah. Do they cook up better than they?
They're delicious. Okay. So you can use them like you would use kale or Swiss chard.
So chop them up.
Yeah, sort of remove them from the stems. Actually, at Little Eater, we'll use the stems too. But I think at home, you can just use the leaves. And, you know, you can saute it with a little bit of garlic and lemon and just use them, you know, sauteed. You can throw them into a soup or into a stir fry. There's a great recipe in the book for beets and greens bulgur. It's a great bulgur dish with beets, and then you use the greens right in there as well. They can be braised. They're wonderful. You can throw them into, you can make a pesto out of them. You can do a salsa verde with them and enjoy them raw. You know, it's the same thing for carrot tops. You know, it's a great sign of freshness, which means you don't have to peel your carrots. If those tops are attached, it means that, you know, they're not going to be dry or tough. And you can avoid that step. And the same thing, turn them into a pesto or a salsa verde. But definitely, you know, those are two vegetables in one. Don't throw them away. You paid for it.
Right. Exactly. And if they're attached, it does tell you something about the freshness as well.
Absolutely. And it also is important to actually, that is one thing you want to do when you get them home is separate the tops from the roots because it will pull and draw moisture from the roots.
Okay.
So you want to, when you get them home, separate them and then treat them as two separate vegetables at that point.
Thank you to Patricia Kokensparger in Grove City for your support. Also, Lori Illenfield in Westerville, just 7 pledges to go and a little over 6 minutes to go. Give us a call, 614-292-8513. If you have a question for Kara Mangini, if you want to show your support right now and take advantage of our thank you gift this hour, the beautiful hard-covered, full-color, filled with full-color photographs throughout The Vegetable Butcher, how to select, prep, slice, dice, and masterfully cook vegetables from artichokes to zucchini. That's at the $10 a month sustaining level. So go to WOSU.org to learn more about how to do that. It takes just a couple of minutes. Or go check out, you can give us a call and talk to one of our volunteers. By the way, lots of people give in lots of different ways to show their support for 89.7 NPR News. And one of the ways some people do it is they volunteer in our call center. It's just a couple walls away from me. I want to say thank you to all the volunteers for your support today as well. You're doing what you can. We're asking our listeners out there to do what they can at whatever level you feel comfortable at the $10 a month sustainer level. Our gift to you is the Vegetable Butcher. So check that out. If you want to learn more, you can read a little bit more about it if you go to WOSU.org as well. Thanks to Laura Whistler in New Albany for your pledge. That means we have just six to go and just about a little over five minutes. Thanks, Laura Whistler, for showing your support for 89.7. Also, Dawn Good in Canal Winchester. Now we just have five to go in just a little over 5 minutes. 1-866-897-9678. Let's turn to a caller now. Jess in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Jess.
Hi. I had a question for Kara. And basically what I was wondering was, how do you, I guess, muster up the willpower to do cooking, like after, you know, a long day's work, or just, you know, for someone like me, I enjoy eating and other people's cooking, but me, myself, just the whole process of cooking and the cleanup afterwards seems like a huge chore and just a lot of work. So I'm just wondering if you have any tips for getting over that and mustering up the willpower.
Well, you are not alone. I think we all feel that way. And it's really the goal and mission of this book is to make it easier for you. So we get to a place where we just, you know how to turn broccoli quickly into a meal. It's going to feel less like a chore and not like, you know, this big production. You have to take out a recipe and take out all these ingredients. And you just know a few simple things that you can pull together and get dinner together in, you know, 15 minutes. So, you know, that's the goal of the book, is to make this second nature. But, you know, cooking does take time. It's not, you know, it isn't the same as, you know, pulling into a restaurant. But, you know, you can get dinner on the table, you know, quickly as well in the time it takes you to go get takeout. But it requires a little bit of planning ahead. So I certainly recommend, when you do have the time, to do your shopping and keeping some basic pantry goods around. I talk about that, yep, certainly in the book, what those items are. And then, you know, keeping a few fresh ingredients on hand. And, you know, there are things, you know, there are certain recipes in the book. Maybe celery root pot pie is not something you want to do on a busy work night, but you can make a quick stir fry or a pasta, or, you know, a few different steamed or roasted vegetables with the grain, and that comes together quite quickly.
And, you know, one of our callers earlier on in the program, Jess, said, you know, every vegetable goes great tossed in a little olive oil and salt and pepper and roasted. I mean, if you just pick a new vegetable every night and just do that.
Absolutely.
Right.
And, you know, having a great vinaigrette on hand that maybe you make on the weekend, or a great sauce or yogurt that pairs really well with it. The Turkish carrot yogurt in the book is awesome thing to keep around, and it pairs well with everything. Or a chimichurri, or a romesco sauce, you know, things that actually are really fast to pull together. But if you have some of those steps done, it makes the other work a bit faster. And, you know, ultimately, I think it's also having inspiring recipes, you know, and ingredients that, you know, get you excited to get in there, because I know it's tough at the end of a long day.
Jess, thanks a lot for that call. Plus, sometimes it's just fun to start out on weekends first and not feel like you have to do it on the weeknights,
yes,
you know, if that's a hassle. Thanks to Paula Weinstein and Christy Carlson in Columbus for your support of 89.7 NPR News. Three pledges to go now and just 2.5 minutes to go. 1-866-897-9678, or go online to WOSU.org. It just takes, you know, just about 2 minutes, which is just about how much time we have left in the program, but I still want to encourage everybody to give us a moment, take some time to show your support. If you're new to this, I know you don't know what it's going to take, how long, much time. It really only takes a couple minutes. I've tried it. I do it. I don't do it anymore. My husband does it now. I don't actually make the calls anymore. But I also remember that good feeling I get when I make that call. You're going to want to feel that way. It's like a great, warm, comforting bowl of something you've made in your own kitchen. It's the same thing. That's what we mean to you. If this is something that's important to you, give us a call. Thanks to Sue Hockton in Worthington for your support. Two more to go in less than 2 minutes now. Give us a call right now, 1-866-897-9678. Laura in Westerville, can you tell us tell us real quick what you're calling about?
Hi, I just love this cookbook. I love NPR, and I love this cookbook. I became a vegetarian a couple of months ago to improve my blood pressure and my cholesterol and everything. Mm-hmm. And I picked up this cookbook, and
it's a winner.
Opens up the world of vegetables.
Yeah.
It is just wonderful. So I pledged because she's on here today.
Thank you
so much,
Laura. Thank you. Thank you so much. And thanks for that. I mean, that's a great testimonial, too. I agree. It's just a winning cookbook. It's our gift to you at the $10 a month sustaining level. Kara Mangini, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much. Happy cooking to everybody this fall.
Kara Mangini, chef and owner of Little Eater and author of The Vegetable Butcher, How to Select, Prep, Slice, Dice, and Masterfully Cook Vegetables from Artichokes to Zucchini. Thanks to Barbara Sweeney in New Albany for your pledge. Just one to go now before the end of the hour. I know we can make it. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. And thanks for all of your support. This is listener supported WOSU-FM and HD1 Columbus and online at WOSU.org. 89.7 NPR News, your all-day NPR news station, a service of WOSU Public Media. And thanks.